I'm Amy Goodman. Stay tuned now for Tell Somebody with Tom Clammer.
Stand by for Tell Somebody. And welcome to Tell Somebody for January 8, 2015. www.tellsomebody.us. Follow me on Twitter at Tell Somebody Now and look for Tell Somebody Now on Facebook. And remember, you can subscribe to the podcast for free at the iTunes Store. This is your host, Tom Clammer. Today we're going to review the year 2014 on Tell Somebody by just playing clips from last year's show with very little added comment. We started out last year, last January, talking about single-payer health care. Give a listen. Ed Weisbart, M.D., chairs the Missouri chapter of Physicians for a National Health Program. Dr. Weisbart was in Kansas City recently speaking at the School of Medicine at the University of Missouri and elsewhere in town, and I had the opportunity to sit down and talk with him while he was here. Give a listen. Dr. Weisbart, welcome to Tell Somebody.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Well, you know, first of all, you're exactly right in your premise of this discussion. We spend 31% of what we spend on healthcare. 31% goes to either insurance company administration or administration on hospitals and physicians and profits from the industry itself and from the CEOs. 31%. 31 cents out of every dollar. So if you have a premium of $800 per month for your family, that means that 240 of that $800 that you're spending every month goes to administrative bureaucracy and profit. Doesn't go to healthcare. 31%. That's a big chunk.
Yeah.
So in Medicare in the United States, that number is 2%, maybe up to 5%, depending on how you do the analysis. And I've seen different analyses of Medicare between 2 and 5%, compared to 31% in our insurance industry. Medicaid in Missouri, I've seen their published numbers because, as you know, I had the pleasure of being on a task force this summer that looked at Medicaid in Missouri in quite a bit of detail. And their overhead is 2%. So when we have a 2 to 5% option versus a 31% overhead option, it's a pretty easy business decision of what's the right way to go. And that's borne out around the world. So Canada is under 10%. Most countries in Europe that do a single-payer program have an overhead and administrative process that's well under 10%. So we're just giving 20% or maybe more of our healthcare dollar, which is a big chunk of our GDP, we're giving that away to maintain and preserve a fairly irrational system that we grew for interesting historical reasons that the rest of the world, nobody else in the world grew. So you're right, we're unbelievably wasting money.
We need people to show up there and take part. You have time for testimony. It's a public comment time for the people. It's built into the program. It's required by the federal government. Come and let your voices be heard.
What, where'd the $1 billion number come from?
I can't answer that question because I wasn't there and I didn't assemble those numbers.
But so was that hearsay or were there documents supporting that billion?
What I saw is I've seen a lot of numbers out there, but I never saw how there were homework on this.
Maurice Copeland on sick workers and cleanup on the cheap at the Kansas City Nuclear Weapons Parts Plant at the Bannister Federal Complex. The Bannister Federal Complex Community Advisory Panel, or CAP, of which Maurice Copeland is a member, met on January 9th. And Copeland was interested in why the government numbers were so much higher than the privatized number for cleanup at Bannister. Maurice Copeland asked about it and CenterPoint Properties Vice President Jim Cross took the question, and although the regional EPA administrator and representatives from GSA, NNSA, Department of Energy, and others were present, Jim Cross kept it. Wouldn't you think one of the government officials involved in the disposition of the plant should have weighed in on this discrepancy?
Any questions?
Yes.
How are you, sir?
$175 million.
Yes.
Tell me, how'd you come up with that?
Well, I have done this pretty much. I've got a big history behind me. I have, if you have taken the time to look through,
in a minute, we'll hear about a meeting coming up next Tuesday, January 28th, dealing with claims for sick or dying workers at the plant and something called a special exposure cohort. I found the following on special exposure cohort on a U.S. Department of Labor website. Division of Energy Employees Occupational Illness Compensation, DEEOIC.
Yeah, the SEC, that's a special exposure cohort. And what that special exposure cohort does is anyone that's had one of 22 cancers that worked at Bendix, at Honeywell. The SEC relates to radiation exposures. And if they had any one of those cancers are related to radiation exposure, that they would, if accepted, if my request was accepted, they would automatically receive the compensation and the medical card so that they could have their medical problems handled by the government.
Let me just explain a little bit before we start the public comment period what we're doing here. What the OIPA Act charges us to do, this advisory board to do, is to do an independent evaluation of NIOSH's recommendation on the special exposure cohort. So we've been doing this. Our charge is to make a recommendation to the Secretary of Health and Human Services whether or not we support the NIOSH recommendation on the special exposure cohort.
I had already made funeral arrangements. I was told to by hospice. And I could not tell my husband, who had hours left to live, that his claim was denied. And I don't know, he went to his grave not knowing. I didn't have the heart to tell him that his claim was denied.
And let me push the magic button and see if former CIA analyst Ray McGovern is still on the horn with us. Ray, are you there?
Still here, Tom. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear. Ray, it's great to have you on, and appreciate your support for Democracy Now! And for Tell Somebody. So what do you have to say to us, Ray?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to check about the number, Tom. Is it 888-931-0901? Is that the correct number to call?
That is the correct number. You will get a very lovely person at the KKFI studios answering your call. No doubt with the NSA listening in. What do you think about that?
Well, you may get a couple of contributions from the NSA because what I'm told by Jesselyn Radek of the Government Accountability Project, she's got, figuratively speaking, a long line of NSA whistleblowers right outside her office door. She is the person who defended, one of the persons who defended Thomas Drake, and she herself is a whistleblower, having worked with the Department of Justice back when she thought the Department of Justice was about justice.
Imagine that.
She learned it wasn't that. So she reports that now her work there at the Government Accountability Project, which has become somewhat famous for defending people, the long line of people that the Obama administration has charged under the Espionage Act. And so when you say that NSA folks might be listening to your program here, it's conceivable. As a matter of fact, there's some suggestion that they will be getting some sustenance from programs like yours, Tom, and like Amy Goodman's.
Today on Tell Somebody, Todd O'Boyle of Common Cause and Christopher Mitchell of the Institute for Local Self-Reliance talk about municipal broadband and corporate efforts to outlaw it.
Media, but only if you can access them, and that's why allowing the cable industry to essentially write people out of the picture, and as you know, to put in Chris's terms, tell these towns to disappear is a clear threat to our democracy.
I've read somewhere in some of these articles about the Kansas law that the industry is pushing this law in Kansas and in general because they can lose a bunch of money if municipalities do these things. But in cases where they're not going there anyway, why do they want to keep the city from doing municipal broadband if they're not going to mess with it anyway? Can you explain that a little bit, either one of you?
Sure. This is Chris. I think a good example actually comes to us from the city of Centennial, which is in the Denver metro area. There was recently a business there that wanted to get access to fiber, and Comcast basically said, sure, we'd be happy to bring you fiber. That's what we do. It'll be, I believe it was $20,000 upfront cost. Now, if that city, if that business was located just 30, 40 miles north in Longmont, a city that has built its own municipal network, the connection fee would be free. They just have to pay the ongoing fee that a business would have to pay anywhere else. And so the big cable and telephone companies are really trying to avoid any other options. Now, that's an example from an area that's fairly urban and there's some competition. But in areas that aren't served, there's multiple things. One is the cable and telephone companies don't want any competition there. In many cases, they have the market locked up, and they don't have to spend a dime on investment, but they will keep having customers coming back to them because they have no other choice. Another problem is what we call the threat of a good example. You know, the better Chanute looks because it's building this incredible network, the worse that Time Warner Cable looks.
Hello. Thanks for joining us and congratulating Chelsea Manning on winning the Sam Adams Award for Integrity and Intelligence.
Current limit, which is $123,000 that you can give to all federal candidates in a two-year election cycle, could be raised to almost $6 million that an individual person could give in an election. And people are already totally sick of the amount of money that's being poured into elections.
Today on Tell Somebody, a decision on a Supreme Court case described as worse than Citizens United could be handed down as soon as Monday, February 24th, 2014. We'll hear audio from the oral arguments in McCutcheon versus Federal Election Commission and talk to Public Citizen Senior Organizer Akane Freechild. I'm going to play a clip here from Snowden's remarks made just last night at the Oxford Union in England.
The foundation of democracy is the consent of the governed. After all, we can't consent to programs and policies about which we are never informed. I believe we have to remember that the distinguishing strength of democracy is self-correction, that no matter how bad things get, the public, in partnership with a free press, can detect and correct the mistakes of policy by well-intentioned but misguided officials. It's this self-correcting, self-determining form of unapologetically American government in which Chelsea Manning so valuably participated.
And on the nuclear weapons plant front in Kansas City, Gerald J. Grimaldi, Chair, and Steve Rinney, Vice Chair of the Bannister Federal Complex Community Advisory Panel, or CAP, sent a message to other CAP members last Friday, reading in part, The Bannister Federal Complex Community Advisory Panel, or Bannister CAP, has concluded that the CAP has met its objectives and run its course. Well, this is very interesting in light of the fact that at the last CAP meeting, which I attended, there was no mention of ending the CAP, and it appears that this was a unilateral decision made without a vote at a public meeting. At that most recent meeting, none of the government officials present representing the EPA, GSA, DOE, and NNSA responded to questions about how a private real estate developer was going to clean up the site for $175 million when government estimates suggest it would cost over $1 billion. One might assume that if this so-called community advisory panel was intended as anything but window dressing, the community might be provided an answer to that and many other questions about this site described by a Sierra Club spokesman as a festering hellhole.
What we found is that on pretty much every issue, Big Oil's claims were just false. Right? It's hard to say it any more gently or politely than that. They're just false.
The employment estimates are completely bogus. The monetary estimates, you know, how many billions of dollars this is worth to each country, are completely bogus. The methods used to estimate those things are highly questionable.
Today on Tell Somebody, Dave Saldana, the producer-director of a new short film called Keystone Pipe Lies, Exposed, and economics professor Hank Vandenberg returns to talk about the Trans-Pacific Partnership, or TPP. We've been talking to Matt Wood, policy director with Free Press. Matt, any quick final words for the listeners and websites or other sources of information for looking into this further?
Yeah, sure. We're www.freepress.net. And sometimes I guess I might sound a little too gloom and doom about it, but really our whole purpose in being is to bring people's voices back into that conversation so that it's not just the corporate lobbyists or the politicians to whom they contribute who get to make these decisions. We're actively fighting this merger. We're actually fighting to try to get net neutrality restored so that everybody can talk to anybody else, whether that's on their phone or online. So our website leads to a lot of other resources and a lot of news stories as well. And we're always happy to keep people informed and really to turn the tables and make sure that those people are informing all of us here in Washington who need to hear more from real people about how these technologies and tools really affect their everyday lives.
Okay. Well, I guess we'll leave it at that for now. Matt Wood, thank you very much for talking to us today on Tell Somebody.
Thanks, Tom. It was great.
I don't care who you are. If you're hurting, you need something, I got it, you get it. You know, God didn't tell me to get your ID. He told me to feed and clothe my brothers and sisters, and that's what we do. What we really need is more housing, affordable housing. That's what we need. Put the people in housing and then help them from there.
Today on Tell Somebody, Care of Poor People founder Richard Tripp returns to the show to talk about the 2014 Spring Break for the Homeless. Stand by. Morning and welcome to Tell Somebody. This is your host, Tom Klamer, and today on Tell Somebody, we have former CIA analyst Ray McGovern in the studio to kick off a tour of Missouri and a little stop in Lawrence, Kansas. Find more information at www.tellsomebody.us, on Twitter, at TellSomebodyNow. And if you have any comments or questions on the show, drop me a line at mail@tellsomebody.us. going on with you the last week or so?
Well, it has been sort of hectic, Tom, but good hectic, if I could put it that way. We've been very, very active since October 9th, when we awarded Edward Snowden in Moscow the Sam Adams Award for Integrity and Intelligence. More recently, in February, we were back in the Oxford Union awarding Chelsea Manning the same award, which we could not give her or him prior to now, because obviously when there was some doubt as to whether she would plead guilty or not, we weren't about to give her an award for having done so courageously what she did. More recently, Jeremy Scahill, my good friend, gave me an email, actually, 10 days ago, and said, Ray, I'm unable to go to the film festival in The Hague where Dirty Wars, my film, is being honored. Would you substitute for me? There are a few people in the world that I would rather impersonate than Jeremy Scahill, and so I said yes right off the bat. I got substitutes for two other talks I was to give, and it was an incredible experience. These films that were shown at The Hague were incredibly instructive. I learned a lot, and then I had a chance to hold forth after each showing of Dirty Wars, which again was a welcome opportunity. I could tell these folks from Europe what was going on in the United States. I won't say they were shocked. Well, yeah, maybe I will say they were shocked. And my appeal to them was this. I said, you know, my father's generation drove fascists out of Europe. We in the United States don't have any real experience of living under fascism. Right now, we are experiencing what I call creeping fascism, where the multinational corporations, where the government, where the security services, which are largely penetrated by contractors, namely the multinational corporations, where the media, which are largely controlled by the corporations, where parts of our legislature, witness the Senate Intelligence Committee, which is supposed to be overseeing and in reality is overlooking these transgressions against our Constitution, witness parts of the judiciary, those 15 what I call faux lawyers, faux judges on the so-called FISA court.
Reclaiming the seed as a commons, reclaiming our knowledge of the seed as a commons, reclaiming our duty to the seed as a commons, and reclaiming our rights to the seed as a commons. We have to do everything to protect the future of life on Earth, to protect our present, and to protect our freedom. There has never been a threat to freedom as deep as what we face today through the control over the seed.
Today on Tell Somebody, ecological activist and author Dr. Vandana Shiva talks about her work and her upcoming visit to Kansas City. Vandana Shiva is a world-renowned physicist, feminist, activist, and author. Her many books include Water Wars, Soil Not Oil, and Making Peace with the Earth. I called her in Delhi, India, and recorded this conversation. Give a listen. Vandana Shiva, welcome back to Tell Somebody.
Good to be back.
And we're very much looking forward to seeing you and hearing you in Kansas City on April 17th.
Not that long ahead, yes, soon.
Coming up fast. I've long hoped to see that you would visit Kansas City, and here it comes.
Once you allow patenting of genes, then the occurrence of those genes anywhere becomes defined as intellectual property theft. In the United States, thousands of farmers have been sued by Monsanto for exactly that kind of issue. There's also a very famous case of a farmer called Bowman, B-O-W-M-A-N, and a case called Monsanto versus Bowman, where Bowman bought grain from an elevator. He did not buy Monsanto seeds. He bought grain from an elevator and planted it. And Monsanto managed to get the Supreme Court of the United States to rule that no matter how many generations down the grain is produced, it's still Monsanto's property. So you can contaminate others' fields and own their farm produce as your property. You can force farmers who are not buying from you but are buying ordinary grain in the marketplace and then planting it as stealing your property.
Littleton has uniquely positioned itself as a place where principled liberals and conservatives alike who may have disagreement on issues can come together under the principle that we're supposed to have a democratic republican form of governance.
Today on Tell Somebody, David Cobb on his upcoming visit to Kansas City and the move to amend the Constitution to overturn the corrupt but legal fictions of corporate personhood and money equaling speech.
Here's the thing. Democracy means the people rule, the people have the power. Well, we know we don't have the power to actually implement the decisions that we already have and the opinions about the world that we want. And unless you have an educated, informed electorate, then you can't actually make good decisions for we the people. So to me, the media reform movement and the move to amend are actually part of a democracy movement, a movement that actually is dedicated to the principle that we are going to create a real, genuine democracy in the United States. Because you know what, Tom? The most dangerous threat to democracy in the United States today is the mistaken belief that we actually practice one.
And then different aspects get different names. Lakshmi becomes the goddess of wealth. And in India, the goddess of wealth includes the cow dung that becomes the compost. We have a day after Diwali where we literally worship the cow dung. It's called Gobardhan Puja. And because for me so much learning comes from the seed and the soil, every time I see cow dung, I just say thank you. And once in South Africa, it was 10 years after the Earth Summit, all of the treaties of Rio were being undone and were being turned into market instruments. And so all the environmentalists who had worked for those treaties, we got together from across the world and had a press conference to say, we're not going to be part of this. We are here to protect the Earth. We're not here to privatize the water. We are not here to commodify the atmosphere and do emissions trading. And just towards the end of the press conference, a hand came through with cow dung. And I said, oh, an organic farmer has brought me cow dung. And then the face comes behind the hand. And I recognize him as a PR person of Monsanto from India. And he says, no, it's the word for making the world starve with organic. I said, you can call it bull. It's still compost well. It's still cow dung. And then I had a composting ceremony outside the big conference hall. And then a Swedish filmmaker who's following me everywhere actually has made a film called Bull about my years of my conversations with our neighbor at the other end of the state.
On Sunday, April 6th, after hearing Robert McChesney at the All Souls Forum in Kansas City, my old pal Mike Murphy and I drove to Whiteman Air Force Base with former CIA analyst Ray McGovern for a Ground the Drones peace demonstration. Ray McGovern and Brian Terrell, co-coordinator of Creative Voices for Nonviolence, who spent 6 months in prison for trespassing at the base in 2012 during a drone protest, were the featured speakers. Give a listen now to Brian Terrell speaking at Whiteman Air Force Base on April 6th.
They say the criminal always returns to the scene of the crime. And so I'm here with Ron and remembering Mark Kenny, who was with us that day, too. And, our trial was interesting because there wasn't any contention that there was not a crime being committed here on that day and that trespassing was not occurring. But the crime that was being committed was the trespassing of drones from Whiteman Air Force Base into the airspace of Afghanistan, Pakistan, Yemen, and a number of other places that was probably going on that day as well.
Christine Hines, a consumer advocate, attorney with Public Citizen. Christine Hines, welcome to Tell Somebody.
Thank you very much.
I got an email from Public Citizen recently with the subject line, not just General Mills, dozens of corporations use unfair fine print to deny people their legal rights. What is this General Mills kerfuffle all about?
2 weeks ago, a New York Times article uncovered some fine print on the terms of service on General Mills' website, where the company sought to restrict its customers' legal rights. So anyone who had any interactions with General Mills, used their coupons or any interactions online, used their coupons online, downloaded coupons or participated in sweepstakes, they would give up their right to sue the company and they would be forced into a secret process to resolve disputes called arbitration.
This morning on Tell Somebody, John Nichols on Dollarocracy. Washington correspondent for The Nation magazine, co-founder of the media reform organization Free Press, and co-author with Robert McChesney of Dollarocracy, How the Money and Media Election Complex is Destroying America, is coming to speak about Dollarocracy at the downtown Central Library in Kansas City, Missouri, next Thursday, May 22nd. In introducing John Nichols on his show last fall, Bill Moyers quoted the late Gore Vidal, who said, "Of all the giant slayers now afoot in the great American desert, John Nichols' sword is the sharpest." John Nichols, welcome back to Tell Somebody.
Well, I've been away for too long, my friend.
I agree.
Obviously, because your introductions have become so generous that you obviously have forgotten what I'm really like.
Well, I don't know about that. We'll have to just see you next week and hash that out a little further and try to make it more frequent in the future.
Yeah, but I'm really looking forward to next week. I remember being at the library a while back and what a great crowd it was. Great energy. It's a real testament to Kansas City that you've got such a vibrant community, and also that your folks are out today as part of this incredible fast food strike. 150 communities, 30 countries. I've been talking to folks and monitoring it today, and we have some fabulous photos of people out in the streets in Tokyo and all over Europe, obviously all across the United States. Great big crowds. Out.
Hello and welcome to Tell Somebody for May 22nd, 2014. Jane Stover with Peaceworks KC. Good to have you back on Tell Somebody.
Thank you, Tom.
So, Trifecta Resista is coming up again and something on Memorial Day. I want to hear all about that, but maybe first, could you tell me how Trifecta Resista got its name?
Well, Colonel Ann Wright, a former diplomat and high-ranking Army colonel, came to town, and you might recall that concerning the Iraq War, she decided to leave the military and her diplomatic post because she didn't think the Iraq War was necessary. And she came to town to talk, to give talks, and we had a breakfast with her. Some of us from PeaceWorks gathered with her, and we were talking about our plan in 2012 to hold a witness against the new nuclear weapons parts plant that was then planned to go up in Kansas City, Missouri, way south, close south of Grandview, actually. And Ann was saying, what can I do to get you guys to expand that to also consider then Bradley Manning, a private who had leaked information to WikiLeaks, and it gave documentation and a video about U.S. tragedies that occurred in Iraq and Afghanistan, war crimes that U.S. soldiers committed. And she wanted us to expand to Bradley Manning, now Chelsea Manning. And Chelsea's at Fort Leavenworth still. And Ann also asked us to expand to oppose drone warfare because Whiteman Air Force Base in Knobnostor, Missouri, guides by remote control, guides attacks with drones in Afghanistan and in Iraq and perhaps in some other places that we don't know about. And so Ann at a breakfast gathering said, make it a trifecta. Do the nuclear weapons and the drones and stand up for Manning, Private Manning.
Today, May 29th, 2014, on Tell Somebody, independent journalist Paul Street. The second part of the show last week was the rebroadcast of a conversation I had with journalist Paul Street shortly before President Obama's first inauguration as president 5.5 years ago. Paul Street is an independent journalist, policy advisor, and historian. Formerly, he was vice president for research and planning at the Chicago Urban League and observed Barack Obama up close in action before most of us ever heard of him. He wrote a book, Barack Obama and the Future of American Politics, that was published in 2008, and that's what we talked about on his first Tell Somebody appearance. Black Agenda Report Executive Director Glenn Ford wrote, Paul Street offers perhaps the most clear-headed and meticulously researched dissection yet of the career of the current president, along with a frank assessment of the possibilities, good and not so good, in an Obama administration. Paul Street, welcome back to Tell Somebody.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
In your first book, I believe it was, you wrote about what Lawrence Shute called the hidden primary of the ruling class. I wonder if you could just explain what that's all about.
Well, there's a kind of a marionette theater that's played out for us called electoral politics, and most dramatically at the presidential level, but at all levels, really, where the issues focus a lot on personalities, identity, racial identity, quirks, partisan identity, you know, which party are they running for, and it's kind of a horse race, and who's ahead and who's behind, and so there's a lot of microscopic coverage of every little thing that a candidate might have said, and that's all sort of for the public consumption. And then there's the real selection process, which takes place sort of behind the scenes, a little bit like the Wizard of Oz, right? Who's really pulling the machines? It's the marketing experts, it's the money, it's the campaign finance.
Good morning, everybody. This is Tom Clamer. I'm in the studio with Mary Lindsay. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Tom.
And I think we've got David Cobb on the phone. David, are you there?
Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Mary. And good morning to all the Tell Somebody listeners. As we began this conversation, I pointed out that the only reason that you, the listener, gets to hear something like this is because KKFI is non-corporately filtered news, information, and analysis. Tell Somebody is a locally produced weekly public affairs program on this station. It would not be allowed to exist in corporate media. And Bob McChesney knows that, one of the great public intellectuals and champions of media reform. I know that, of Move to Mend. And you as a listener know it. The reality is that you wouldn't be listening to this program if you didn't already value the opportunity to hear truth, to hear reality, to actually
hear information and then engage it in your own mind and think through it. So I'm going to join Mary, I'm going to join Tom in asking you to pick up the phone now. I know that there was a round of thanks. That was great. At the top of the hour, it would be fantastic if a locally produced program could actually raise as much money for this station or even more than Amy Goodman did. Think about that for a minute. I'm a huge Amy Goodman supporter. I'm a huge Amy Goodman fan. And what she does is remarkable. It is so powerful. It is so important. And we know that people give money when they hear her voice and when they hear her pitch because of her national program. And that's great, and we're glad that people do it. But now I'm going to talk to those people who know and understand that real systemic social change have got to begin where you live, work, and play. And you live, work, and play in the KKFI listening area. The number of times that you depend on KKFI to hear about national speakers who come through, like Bob McChesney, like myself, like Amy Goodman, the number of times that you hear about local actions that Mary Lindsay and the local Kansas City Move to Amend are doing, or the people who are fighting against this repressive ban on feeding people, for goodness sakes, what is happening in this country. Think about the number of times that you hear about local actions that you can touch down on and help to make your community a better place. How often it is that you hear that on KKFI and on Tell Somebody or one of the other fantastic locally produced programs. So as we come to the end of this hour, wouldn't it be fantastic if this locally produced program generated as many calls as Amy Goodman did? That's not to denigrate Amy. That's to lift Amy up and to say that is the site that we are setting for ourselves. That is what we're aiming for.
It presents such a falsehood when people in our government say, well, we're exceptional and we don't have to abide by inspections or limits or the concerns about terror that we say other countries represent.
I believe in American exceptionalism with every fiber of my being.
And when the city mission tells me that I have to go to their church to eat a meal, I have to listen to their chapel to eat a meal, and but yet I can walk down the street and somebody can come by and hand me a sack lunch. I'm more satisfied with that sack lunch than having to spend 1 to 2 hours listening to a message that I don't agree with, because I have my own faith.
I'm Richard Church, Care of Poor People. I've been on here many times. But you see, it's a very important radio show. We need to get the message out about this Food Sharing Act.
This morning on Tell Somebody, a little conversation with Nobel Peace Prize nominee Kathy Kelly, in town recently for Trifecta Resista, and proposed City Ordinance 140412 requiring food sharing permits and labeling for feeding the homeless has Richard Tripp and a lot of other folks fighting City Hall.
What you are doing here on this radio station is so critical because it's the silence of the corporate media that allows the public to be disinformed here and remain ignorant.
This morning on Tell Somebody, a conversation with 2012 Green Party presidential nominee Jill Stein, in town recently for Transforming Politics on the Prairie, Building the Green Party in the Midwest, a multi-state meeting and conference for Greens of the Prairie States, and an update to last week's story of proposed City Ordinance 140412 requiring food sharing permits and labeling for those feeding the homeless.
This is Jill Stein, and you are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
This morning on Tell Somebody, former FBI whistleblower Colleen Rowley returns to the show. You know, like the New York Times All the news is fit to print, but what gets most prominently featured? And there was just this article about Blackwater where the headline was very tame about, you know, some report about Blackwater, and then you read into it and you see that a Blackwater official threatened to kill the government overseer if he didn't get out of the way of what they wanted to do.
That's right. That, you know, who that article was written by, too, is James Risen.
Right, the one that's being threatened with a prison sentence for not revealing a source. And my understanding is that the government already knows the source. They just want to do this for some kind of retaliation and set an example.
That's right. They want him to testify that this was the source. And this was on the first disclosures about massive spying that the New York Times ran after being forced for over a year, and their editor, Bill Keller, going along with Dick Cheney saying, oh, this will be terrible for national security if you tell the American public that the NSA's microphones and vacuum cleaner has been turned on them. And Risen, to his credit, and Rick Blau eventually pushed it and were able over a year later to publish their article. The reason they were able to do that was Risen wrote a book. Now, that's quite a courageous thing to do when your own editor of the New York Times tells you, let's not tell the American public what the government's doing.
You know, people talk about the Cold War being over. Well, guess what? There's a new one. It is a new Cold War right now. We're already in it. And as Lightfall puts it, it would be naive to think otherwise.
Well, if there are any future historians left, because this could easily lead to nuclear war.
I recorded this conversation with Ray McGovern on July 3rd, 2014. Give a listen. Ray McGovern, welcome back to Tell Somebody.
Thank you, John. The focus, of course, is on Ukraine right now. And maybe, Tom, would be good to give you a little sit-rep, situation report on recent doings, because they've been quite interesting. Would that be okay?
Yes, please. Let's hear it.
Well, the big news, of course, came on Tuesday morning when the world learned that Poroshenko, the new Ukrainian president, had decided to attack.
Greg Palast, welcome back to Tell Somebody.
Glad to be with you.
And before we get rolling here, I would like to extend thanks to a teddy bear that I understand helped you through a little bit of a challenge in the past few months.
Yeah, I actually had quadruple bypass surgery, which sounds like very dramatic, but, you know, it's really just plumbing. If you go to my gregpalast.com, you'll see a picture of me hugging my cough buddy so that when you cough, it holds in the stuff inside. And, so that helped. My cough buddy helped out.
Well, we're certainly glad that seemed to go well, and welcome back.
I'm very much back, and I want to warn my enemies, I will outlive you all.
All right. That sounds good to me. I wanted to talk a little bit today about Argentina and a guy named Paul Singer, widely known as the Vulture. This has made a little bit of a splash in the corporate media without a lot of supporting information on what's going on. You've been writing about this online at gregpalast.com. And in at least two of your books for some years now, and we've talked about it before, but
right.
For people that have missed that, could you just lay out who is Paul Singer, the Vulture, and what's going on with him in Argentina?
Well, for 7 years, I've been tracking a group of rogue financiers. Well, I don't know how rogue they are. They're financiers, billionaires, known as Vultures, and the Vulture. I've been tracking for 7 years, a guy named Paul Singer. And you should listen up. It doesn't just concern Argentina. This guy is one of the most dangerous characters in the finance industry. And I say dangerous, I'll explain.
Today on Tell Somebody, the new Kansas City Nuclear Weapons Parts Plant, or as they now call it, the National Security Campus, was dedicated on Friday, August 22, 2014. You'll hear the ceremony and the speakers next.
Please join me in welcoming Secretary of Energy, Dr. Ernest Moniz.
Kind introduction, Mark, and but I do want to start with first telling Congressman Cleaver that, of course, I will accept the invitation to the World Series, but I warn you that Kansas City had better produce this year because being from Boston, our plan is to go from worst to first to worst again this year, but next year back to first. So I can assure, it's really... it's not easy, but if that's our approach, it's great to be up here to follow. First of all, General Klotz from DOE, our Congress members, Hartzler and Cleaver, GSA Regional Administrator, our site office manager, our Honeywell partners, and then finally, of course, the nuclear security mission. Which this plant is dedicated to. Let me put that in a little bit of context. The president has, in his nuclear security policy speeches, he has laid out a long-term vision of a world without nuclear weapons. But we all know that is many decades in the future.
As noted at the top of the show, last week I brought you the audio of the formal dedication of the new nuclear security campus in South Kansas City, and that audio has been posted for you to stream or download at www.tellsomebody.us. And of course, this new facility replaces the old Kansas City nuclear weapons parts plant at the Bannister Federal Complex, where numbers of workers have gotten sick or died from exposure to hundreds of toxic materials. After the ceremony, I got the chance to ask a couple of quick questions of Secretary of Energy, Dr. Ernest Moniz.
Mr. Secretary, do you have anything to say to people who worked at the Kansas City plant for years and feel that, they got sick from exposure to toxic materials and aren't being taken care of very well by the Department of Energy and business generally? Like they're having to jump through a lot of hoops and then not getting a lot of good response.
Well, again, General Klotz may want to respond in more detail, but I want to assure you and assure them that I think we have a track record of having taken these issues very, very seriously and doing thorough investigations. I know in my first go around at Department of Energy, we had a major emphasis on the radiation workers of years past, Portsmouth, Paducah, elsewhere. So on the specifics, I can turn to General Klotz, but we will certainly take any such issues quite seriously.
No, I would add, obviously the safety and health of our employees, as well as the surrounding communities, is a top priority, and we devote a lot of time and attention to making sure we get that right. If for some reason we haven't, then we need to let the field office manager here know what if their specific concerns, and he will in turn let me know, and I'll let the secretary know.
Mark, you ready?
A few minutes later, I saw Congressman Emanuel Cleaver with an aide and tried to see if he had any comments for sick workers fighting the system.
He's walking up to him. He's got one quick question.
Oh, okay.
Is it about today's event? Or
about sick workers.
About what?
Sick workers from the Kansas City plant.
I don't know that he knows anything about that. Let me
let me talk to you and, yeah, and make sure he's convinced. So you can go to your next thing, and then yeah. I'll...
I don't have any information on that. I'm just a dumb mother preacher. I don't know anything about that stuff.
But you used to work there, and, yeah. And you, as a representative, some of the workers feel like you're not paying enough attention to them on those kind of issues.
Well, I'll find out.
That's not my job.
Right, okay.
That's it. We're out of time. You've been listening to the podcast edition of Tell Somebody, www.tellsomebody.us. Comments or questions, send an email to mail@tellsomebody.us. You can also follow me on Twitter @TellSomebodyNow. The Tell Somebody podcast is produced and distributed by Tell Somebody and may or may not reflect the broadcast of Tell Somebody, heard on 90.1 FM KKFI in Kansas City, streaming around the world at www.kkfi.org. I'll be on 90.1 FM KKFI every Thursday morning at 9, right after Democracy Now! If you haven't heard Tell Somebody before, I hope you'll listen again. Check out the podcast and the broadcast. Click on a tile at www.tellsomebody.us for a link to a past show. If you enjoyed the show and appreciated the information you got from it, please tell somebody about the podcast and the broadcast. Spread the word to your friends and contacts by word of mouth or Facebook or Twitter or email list or any other way you can think of. This is Tom Clammer. I'll see you next Thursday at 9 a.m. on Tell Somebody, or anytime you like, at www.tellsomebody.us.